We're doing the Ein Yaakov, which is really a distilled version of Talmud that gives us, page 166, Pei Gimel Amud Beis in the standard editions of the Ein Yaakov. As we've discussed many times, the Ein Yaakov brings us the stories of the Talmud, the more agadic aspect of Talmud. And we had been learning about the blessing of Hagomel, that we learned last week that when a person is saved from one of four circumstances, he makes a blessing thanking Hashem. He has to give thanks. A person who went to sea, a person who went through desert, a person who was ill and got healed, a person who was in bondage and got freed. So, Rabbi Yehuda chalash ve'itpach. We're at the top of the page. Rabbi Yehuda, you want to pass me? I'll try to find it.
There's no 166.
So we got to make new copies. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda became ill, and then he became cured. So the great Rabbi Yehuda is now healthy again. Aligabe Rav Chana Bagdetav Manan. Rav Chana from the ear Baghdad, he and the rabbis came to visit him now that he's better, and they said, "Brich Achmana, blessed is the merciful one, blessed is God, the Yavach Lam lo Yavach Lafra, that he gave you back to us, and he didn't give you to the earth." Meaning, thank God you're alive and not dead. So they made a blessing in the presence of 10 people. Among them were some rabbis. We said that's the criterion for making a blessing of Hagomel, thanking Hashem for doing something good on our behalf. Amar lehu. So Rabbi Yehuda said to them, "Patotun yatim elo adui." Now that you've said that, he said, "Amen." They made a blessing. He said, "Amen." He said, "Now I no longer have to make a blessing of Hagomel. You just said the blessing of Hagomel on me. What did you say?" You say, "Thank you, Hashem, for giving him life and not giving him to the earth." Okay, that's a blessing of thanks. So, thank you. Now I don't have to make Hagomel. I said, "Amen" to your bracha, and that's how we say in Halacha too. The Gemara says, "Wait a second, doesn't it have to be in the presence of 10? The Gemara says, "Habu be'asara," there were 10 present. But he didn't say thanks. Yeah, he said "Amen" after them. So that's why it's like he himself said the blessing. Yeah. We don't do it, but technically, I think in Shulchan Aruch it says that technically this works.
So when there's a group of people all saying
Hagomel, one could say it on behalf of everyone.
But if they say "Amen" and then they go up and say it,
well, the question is, does he have in mind to say it on their behalf, and do they have in mind to be yotzei? Very often in shul, the rabbi bangs on the table and says, "Someone's making Hagomel, he'll be motzei whoever needs it." You find this more often among Sephardi shuls, because us Ashkenazim, we don't say Hagomel as often as Sephardim do. This custom goes back to the days of the Shulchan Aruch. The Sephardim take a trip to Tel Aviv, they can make Hagomel on that.
Wow.
Ashkenazim, it's got to be a real serious trip. Okay. Sephardim are more, depends who the rabbi. Rav Moshe Feinstein held any time you went on a plane you had to make Hagomel. My father used to fly every week. I always thought, should I tell him or shouldn't I tell him? But that's what Rav Moshe held. So, okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Now that we discussed those that have to give thanks, so Rav Yehuda teaches us another halacha. Shlosha tzichin shimu. Three people need extra protection because the spirits are apt to harm them. Eluhen, these are the three that need watching. Chole, someone who's ill, so he's already in a state where he's not in the best of health. He's weakened, right? So it's possible to knock him off his feet. Chaya, or chal. Chatan v'kala, a chasan and a kala. So what?
People who are
on the verge of getting married or are freshly married. So he's jealous of them. Look at them; they just got all their sins atoned for. Look at them; they have the Shechina entering their home. Look at them. So he wants to kill them. So b'matnita tana in the brisa it says chole chaya chatan v'kala, someone who's ill and a woman who just gave birth, in a chasan and a kala. The Yeshuwi Mafavel, some say even someone in mourning as well. The Yeshuwi Maf Tamit Chacham Balaila, and others say a Talmud Chacham at night as well, because he's jealous of the Talmud Chacham. So an Avel also, someone like is like someone ill, so is a woman who just gave birth. We halachically were careful primarily with the Chasan and Kala. That's why Chasan and Kala don't go alone. Once they reach the day of the wedding day, or once they're ready to go to the chuppah. So from that time onward till the end of Sheva Brachas, they should never be left alone. How far do we take this? So Rav Moshe Feinstein held that a chassan shouldn't go to shul the morning after the wedding because he shouldn't leave his wife alone. I once got an email where Kala writes me, my husband's such a bum, he doesn't go to shul. So I wrote her back, look, I'm sure he's not a bum. He's probably very tired from the wedding. And anyways, halachically, you should know that Rav Moshe held that a chassan should not be leaving his wife alone. You want him to arrange people to come to the house at 7 o'clock in the morning so he should go to shul? No thanks, obviously, right? So what choice does he have? He's not allowed to leave you alone. You want to go with him to shul at 7 o'clock in the morning? You don't want to get up and go with him to shul at 7 o'clock in the morning. Okay? The story goes, a friend of mine got married and came home and his friend was supposed to build the beds for them and he didn't. So they come home, they have no beds. So what's he supposed to do? So he gets up the toolkit and he builds the beds. He finished building the beds 6 o'clock in the morning. What's he going to do? So he tells his wife, you know, I got Dam Jachris anyways. I can't leave you here. So come with me. So after all night, he takes her with him. They go to Rav Moshe's yeshiva. It was the Talmud they're learning. She's in the Ezra's Nashim. He knows he's not allowed to leave her alone. She's in the Ezra's Nashim. He's standing right next to her in the men's section. He davens Shmoneh Esrei. After davening, he goes over and Rav Moshe sees him the morning after the wedding. He says, what's going on? So the guy says, don't worry, Rebbe. I didn't leave my wife alone. My wife came with me to shul this morning. So Rav Moshe looked at him like, no, that's not what you should have done. Although he didn't want to dampen the spirit of a young chassan, he didn't put a smile on his face. Rav Moshe wasn't too happy with what the chassan did. He didn't tell him the whole story. He just told him, you know, I came and daven at home. So he doesn't daven with the minion that day. Right? Of course, he should daven.
Does this similar apply on Mishnah?
Chasn Davin's Ma'ariv, what we try to do is have the Chasn Davin Ma'ariv before the Chuppah. If the Chuppah isn't too late, so then we try to have the Chasn Davin Ma'ariv before the Chuppah, because then he's Chayiv in Ma'ariv. After the Chuppah, we say that today we don't have Kavanah all year long, so it's okay, we could daven the night of our Chuppah too. It's not like we have any better Kavanah the night before. So we daven Ma'ariv still.
That's not the same as back then.
Yeah. That's what it says.
Little
we try to do that if possible. Now in the winter it's easier. In the summer you could have shkias late in the weddings before shkias. So then it's a little tough. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda taught us another thing that has to do with the number three. Shlosha dvarim ma'arichin yamav u'shnotav shel adam. Three things grant a person long days and long years. Two different things. You know, when the Ger Rebbe passed away, so his son came home and sat to the Shiva, and he died a relatively young man. He said, Abba had arichus yamin. He had longevity of days. Everyone looked at him like he'd gone, man, what do you mean he had arichus yamin? He died relatively young. He said, no, I didn't say arichus shonim, I said arichus yamin. I didn't say he had long years. He had long days. Every day was long. He accomplished a lot. So the Ein Yaakov says, there are three things that give you long days and long years. Two different things. Veiluen, what are the three things? Amarich betfilato, someone who davens a longer davening. Vamarich beshulchano, someone who extends his meal so that the poor can come and partake of his meal. He knows that people are going to come knocking and joining his meal, so he eats a longer meal, and this way more people can partake of his meal. Vamarich bebet hakiseh, and someone who doesn't rush it in the bathroom. He takes a long time. That's also something that's healthy for the person. Hamarich betviatom al yudei. The Gemara says, is it really a good thing to daven a long davening? We have a quote in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hamarich betviatom ayin basof validei kev lev. If someone davens long, and then he says to himself, you know, I daven so long, for sure God's going to listen to me. So then, ultimately, he'll only come to heartache. Shneimaros, the verse says, tochel memushacha machlalev, that an expectation that stems from prayer, so that causes heartache. So you see that if you daven a long davening and then you figure God's for sure listening to me because I daven long, so that's only going to lead to heartache. So what does it mean that a long davening is a good thing? And not only that, we have another quote. Rabbi Yitzchak taught us, Shlosha dvarim mazkirin avonotav shel adam. Three things cause the heavens to reevaluate a person. They bring Yom Kippur down on a person. There are three things that you can do that will cause them to look at you in heaven and say, okay, let's see what this guy's up to. Let's reevaluate how much life we should give. Maybe he should drop dead now. What are the three things that cause a person to be reevaluated in heaven where they ask themselves, should we give him life? Deiluhen, here they are. Kirnatui. If a guy walks under a wall that's leaning, meaning he walks in a place, in a construction site, he walks in a place that's dangerous. He decides, what do I care if there are Arabs shooting? If I'm meant to live, I'll live. If I'm meant to die, I'll die. The Talmud says in their days they had people who said that foolish thing too. So a guy who puts himself in a place of danger, so that means that in heaven they say, wait a second, who says we should let him get out of this alive? So he dumps upon himself a Yom Kippur. In Shemayim, it's not that he gets the atonement of Yom Kippur, he gets rejudged. Could be on Yom Kippur, they said, he should live another 70 years. But now that he put himself in a dangerous situation, so in Shemayim they say, hold on, let's reopen the books, let's see, should he live or should he die? And they reevaluate him. So that's number one. The Yunt Filah. And number two is a guy who davens very long and focused. That also causes them to open up his books and say, wait a second. So in a second, we'll have to rectify all these quotes. Umoser din al chavro l'shamayim. And the third thing is a guy who says to someone else, God should judge between us. So in heaven they say, oh yeah, you're so sure you're right, let's check you out first. And that's what happened. Sarah told Avram, she said to Avram, God should judge between us over what's happening here with Hagar. So God did, and she died. God first judged her. So here we have two quotes that seem to say that a long davening is not good. Rav Yehuda said that a long davening grants a person longevity. Answers the Gemara, Halo Kasha, that's not a question. Hatam demarich umayen, hacha demarich velo mayen. When is it a bad thing? If you daven a long davening and you walk away from davening saying, God's going to listen to me. If you walk away from davening with a confidence, because I daven long, God's going to do what I asked. So even if you just said it to yourself, you didn't say it to anyone. You said, I was focused, so obviously God's going to do what I asked. So that causes two things. A, it causes heartache. B, it causes a person to be rejudged. God says, you think you control me? Wait a second, let's see, do you really deserve I should listen to you? And then the person is rejudged. But when is it a good thing if a person just davens a long davening and he does not walk away saying, okay, God's going to listen to me because I daven long? Vehechi avid, so what do you do on a long davening? Mapish berachme, he davens and he asks a lot of things and he asks for a lot of mercy. So that's okay. That's a long davening that Hashem likes. A guy that pleads and begs and asks and davens and he puts his heart into it. Okay, next time we'll have to pick up here because could be that Ma'ariv starting in 2 minutes.